Hello, this is Jensen Franklin, and thank you so much for joining us for this week's podcast. Our goal is to provide you with biblically based teachings that will challenge, inspire, and equip you to live for Jesus. If you haven't already, I'd love for you to go ahead and subscribe today to this podcast so you can get the latest updates from us and you don't ever have to miss a new message. Let's go right into the service. Recorded at Free Chapel. I believe it's going to bless you today. In Matthew 18, verse 21, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall someone sin against me and I have to forgive him? Up to seven times. And he said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven, which is an amazing statement. I want you to notice that Simon Peter was trying to define forgiveness with a mathematical equation. What is a number? Probably, I have a sneaky suspicion, because when you read about Simon Peter, he was a character. And probably he had one person in mind and he had already forgiven him six times. I think that's why he said seven, because I think he was ready to write somebody off and be done with them. And, you know, trying to put a mathematical formula on forgiveness. I want to talk to you about the mathematics of forgiveness for a few moments today. I always struggle with math in school. I hated it. I despised it and skipped it all that I could. Please don't do that if you're a student. You're much better than I. But to this day, it's not my favorite thing. That's why we have a financial department and a chief financial officer, just so I don't go to prison, basically, because I'm not good at math. I don't like to do. I do it out of necessity, budgets and all that, but I hate it. I have to force myself. If I go pay for a bill in a restaurant, and my wife knows this is the truth, I just round off the tip. I'm just a bit, you know, I don't like to sit, because if I do math, I have to count with my fingers, and it's embarrassing. My toes, I'm counting with my toes. People trying to talk to me, and I'm not there. I got Big Bird and all of them. They're coming to help me count and figure out what is the right tip. What would 20% be here? And so I've always struggled with math. Anybody else had a little issue with math? It's just not my thing. Now, I could tear you up in history or something like that. So don't start looking funny already at the beginning of the message. But, you know, it's just not my gifting. There are people who are gifted in that. There are CFOs that are listening to me, people who are amazing at running an office, and you deal with the budgets and you the purchase orders, and we got a whole department in this church, and those ladies and men back there, they're incredible. They're just every little detail. They have spreadsheets and Excel and all that stuff, and they are amazing. They're amazing. But some are good at it, some are not. But one area that we are all, I've seen astoundingly, astonishingly amazing at when it comes to mathematics, is we've learned how to keep count when people hurt us. You may not be good at math, but when people hurt you, you can keep up with that stuff in an amazing way. Like 14 years ago at 3:00 in the afternoon, time, place, date, I remember it. And then you did it again and again and again 4 years later, and we can remember and do that math real, real easy. We can add up words and actions that you said. We can compile hurts, and we can hold that stuff forever mathematically in our minds. Most of the hurts in life will come from people who you've loved the most, who you have trusted the most, and who you have helped the most. The people who will hurt you the most in life are the people you love the most, you've trusted the most, and you hurt and you've helped the most. And the one of the issues and the questions that all of us struggle with when it comes to forgiveness, and it's what Peter was trying to get to, is what are the boundaries of forgiveness? Are there boundaries to forgiving somebody? Is it some place where you just finally get to say, get out of my life, deleted, you're gone, goodbye. Is that biblical to do that? What about a spouse that's cheated on you? What about the person who's been molested by someone? What about senseless acts of violence? Someone murders or maims or rapes someone. What about, are there boundaries on forgiving somebody and what they've done? What about the people that we have to forgive over and over and over, such as someone with an addiction problem, and they get better and then they have a relapse and fall off the wagon again and again and again and again, and all the trouble comes back in the home over and over and over again? Is forgiveness one-sided? Is it just something that, is it real? Can people really do it? Can you forgive and forget? Is that even possible? The Bible can be a great math tutorer when it comes to how many times you are to forgive. It tells us exactly what to do in math when it comes to loving and forgiving people who have hurt us. Now, what's interesting in this text is in Matthew 18, and notice this, Matthew was a counter. He was a tax collector. We would basically a CPA. He was a numbers guy. He was a math guy. And it's interesting that he's the one that leans in and records this whole story of Simon Peter. And you got to love Peter, because there's something about him that is amazing. He's impulsive. He's strong. He's opinionated. He's politically totally incorrect. Politically incorrect. He'll say anything. He'll cuss people, cut people. I mean, he's turned, the kids would say, he's turned all the way up. All the way up. You know, turned all the way up. Nothing gonna stop me. If you got on the wrong side of Peter, he didn't shield his emotions about how he felt what you were saying to him. And it's funny that Matthew, the counter, is watching this whole thing, and he makes note of the numbers, because Peter comes to Jesus after hearing him teach on forgiveness, and he says, how many times, let's just sum it up now, I'm bottom line guy, how many times do I have to forgive somebody who sinned against me? Seven times? And he actually thought he was being generous, and actually I think he is too. Seven times, one, the same person, the same thing, seven times. Oh, come on, don't look crazy, because we don't even, I mean, a baseball player gets three times, three strikes, and he's out, but we, most of us, one strike. But here's Simon Peter saying three, or not three, seven times. And really what he's saying is, Lord, how many times do I have to let this person rake me over the coals before I get turned up on somebody? DMX has this song, y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here, up in, y'all gonna make me do some time up, come on, don't make, DJ Frank is about to bust a rhyme if y'all don't, y'all gonna make me, the rest of it, I don't know it, but the heathens do. Y'all gonna make me look the fool. Y'all gonna make me lose my cool. Well, that was his song. That was who Simon Peter was. I work hard on these messages. Appreciate this stuff. How many times does a friend get to stab me in the back before I'm done with them? How many times do you consider a person who's following you on social media, and then they unfollow you, and then they follow you again, and then at what point do I get to block them? That's what they were really saying. In Jesus' name. And it's funny that Peter was one of the disciples who was actually married. You know, there were a bunch of them that were not married, but he actually was married. So I think he was throwing his wife under the bus. I think when he said, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive somebody, code my wife? And Jesus absolutely blew their minds when he said, no, not seven times, but seven times 70, which I'm not good at math, but that's 490 times the same thing in one day from the same person. Jesus is not suggesting a number. He's giving us a new math formula. He was saying you can never stop forgiving others regardless of how deeply and how often they've hurt us. Peter thought that he was proposing a generous standard 7 times. But instead, Jesus ups it exponentially and says, no, not 7 times, 7 times 70. Here's the point. Point number one on forgiveness, and don't forget it. Forgiveness is not about keeping score. It's about losing count. That's the only way you can look at this. What was Jesus really saying? He was saying you cannot start keeping score if you're going to be a forgiving person. It's not about keeping score. It's about losing count. If you forgive somebody 490 times in a day, that's an offense every 2 minutes that you have to forgive, and it's continue. In other words, it's not about keeping score. It's about just absolutely losing count. Microsoft Excel spreadsheet changed the accounting world. It's an amazing way that people can keep up with their business or their taxes or all kinds of business spreadsheets that people can do. And they do it in columns. You have a topic or a client or a person, and then you have the date on one side, and you have the name, and then you have the column, and you have the amount that they owe you. And I think sometimes what we do is we have an Excel spreadsheet on people in our minds that's ongoing. So much so that I brought one in with me today, and these are just examples. So back in 2003, Mom and Dad didn't go to my ball game, so they got themselves a column. Mom took too long for the offering, and that started back in 2013. That really goes all the way down to 2017. She's got a column. Mom, you're in my column. And I'm adding to it. Every time you offend me, I'm putting you in there. Then we got a column for our friends. You know, it goes way back maybe to high school days or something. Stole your girlfriend. You ought to thank them that they stole your girlfriend. Have you seen her? Look on Facebook. She looks crazy. You are blessed to get the girl you're with. But you know, they didn't invite me to the Super Bowl. Come on now. I noticed on Facebook y'all had a party, but we didn't get invited, so you just got yourself a column. And I'm going to keep score. I'm keeping score on our relationship and old coworkers. And I want to throw in their church members. You know, that you lied about me, took credit for my project, didn't give me the credit, and you start a column on those people you work with, or a column on the people you go to church with that mistreated you, didn't speak to you. And since Charisse is here, I'm going to throw her under the bus. Treated me ugly. Notice that's gone on there for years. Treated me ugly. Didn't say I'm sorry. My God, that could be, there's a, you know, sided with her mother against me one time, and I never got over it, and turned me down. that means she had a headache, and that would be numerous in there. Another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. You're in a column. You're in a column. And then, you know, I try to keep my kids out of it because I don't want you to think I'm a bad person, but now they start to get on my nerves. And, you know, the kids don't visit, you know, or don't call. And I know they got frequent flyer miles. I don't know why I have to pay for them to come see me. You can go to Disney. All I'm saying is, you know, didn't call or didn't eat, you know, at my house for Christmas, ate at the other side of the family. All that stuff, we start columns. Y'all act holy. And you keep looking at me, I'm going to start a column on this service. And people over there at Buford going to get written up, and Gwinnett. But there's other columns, and that's the bottom line, is I every time somebody does something wrong, I put them in a column. And I start adding and adding and adding and adding and adding. You come to church and you're offended and you're angry and you're mad and you try to worship and you try to get something out of it, but you can't because you've got columns on people. You got columns on people. You can become very administrative about unforgiveness. Notice this, by the year, by the person, by the incident. The thing about Excel spreadsheets is if you keep putting the wrong formula in, you will never end up with the right equation. It keeps kicking it back, saying you got to go back and fix something in this column because it's messing up the whole equation. And the reason people's equation of their life gets messed up is because they don't deal with those columns, and it's going to come back, and the equation of your life, emotionally, spiritually, physically, is taking a toll on you. It's taking a toll on you financially. It's taking a toll on you relationally, because there's people that you've got columns on and you keep in score and you know what they did and you won't let it go, and it's not just affecting them, it's eating you alive. You got to stop the fuzzy math when it comes to keeping score. You've got to abandon your sinful numerical approach of counting offenses. That is not what Christians do. Forgive and forget, somebody said. Forgive and forget. I shocked them in the first service. I think some people might have got offended on this and they had to put me in their column. But I don't know that I believe, after living a little while, that you can just forgive and forget. You can forgive and have to, but I don't know that I can forget. How do you forget a spouse that was unfaithful? How do you forget that someone harmed one of your children? Does that mean that if I forgive them, they're supposed to be at my table or in my house or around my... Does that actually mean that? No, it does not. Forgiveness does not mean that everybody belongs in your life. It does mean that I have to forgive them from my heart because I understand the right math, and I'm going to explain that in just a minute. But to forget, I mean, some people think forgiveness is getting amnesia. That you just, you know, are a lobotomy. They just took your brain out, and now when I see that person, you know, or it's anesthesia. It's like I'm numb, and I'm just. That's not how forgiveness. There's some people, every time you see them, it's the first thing. But here's what's powerful: is when that happens. When that happens, you can remember it differently. Oh, this is good. Now listen, it's not that you can't remember it, but you remember it differently, meaning that it becomes a point of reference of how far, by God's grace, you were so bad then that you couldn't even get in the same room or speak. And it really happened, and it hurt, and it was wrong, but it's a point of reference now. It's not still the same old hatred and stuff. I've forgiven, and God is doing a work, and it's a point of reference to what grace has been doing since that thing happened. It's not denying it. It's acknowledging it and owning it. You've been hurt deeply, but it's not about waiting for an apology. Forgiveness is not keeping score, it's losing count. That's what Jesus was teaching. And you got to do the right math, because there's different formulas of math. The same formula or tool that you use for addition and subtraction is not the same that you use in algebra or trigonometry. You've got to use the right tool. Now watch, now Jesus gives us the right math in Matthew chapter 6 on forgiveness. Folks, please lean in now and listen. Jesus' words, Matthew 6, if you forgive those who sinned against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But, listen, if you refuse others, your Father will not forgive your sins. He's saying, this is a different kind of math, and here's the math pattern and formula. Do the math, the right kind of math means think about every time the Father has forgiven you on a daily basis, and then take that formula and apply it to that person. Think of every time He has forgiven you, and it wasn't that you didn't do it, you did it, and He forgave you. Take that formula and use it with somebody else. He said, when you do this and you keep doing it, because forgiveness is not keeping score, it's losing count. It's another and another and another. I don't know why I'm on all these DJs, but there's one DJ, another and another and another. Y'all, the kids laugh. Go ahead. Your parents don't know what I'm talking about. The second thing about forgiveness is this. Sometimes the best in us can only be brought out by the worst done to us. We don't like it, but the truth is the best of you will never be released sometimes until the worst has been done to you. And usually it'll be done by people who you have loved, trusted, and helped the most. And God never intends for that to destroy you if He allows it. And it's not God doing it, it's people. But if you will allow it, the best will come out of you, out of the worst people do to you. There's something about there's something about unforgiveness that people say, well, when something happens and a bad thing happens and you feel unforgiveness, just leave it alone. You ever heard people say that? That, you know, time heals all things. That's not true. Unforgiveness doesn't get better if you leave it alone. Now listen to me. Unforgiveness is not going to get better if you just back off and leave it alone. It does not get better. It festers. And you either fester unforgiveness or you foster healing. But you have to do one or the other. And if it's unforgiveness and you're festering it, it's going to get worse and bitter and ugly and angry. So Paul in Ephesians 4 gives the beautiful, beautiful formula of how to release forgiveness. Watch this. Ephesians chapter 4. He says, put away all bitterness, wrath, anger. The first thing you got to do is drain all the damaging emotions of unforgiveness. And listen, if you're sitting there saying, well, I feel like I've forgiven that person. If when you see that person, that their face comes up or you're thinking about them and this is the reaction that comes out of you, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, let it be put away from you with all malice. Let it be put away from you with all malice. I want to read it from another translation. It said, bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, all types of mean behavior. Wow. Mean behavior. In other words, Paul is saying, the first thing you got to do is drain the swamp. Let all of that stuff get out of you. Mean behavior. Not speaking, not looking, mean behavior. Get it out. Put it away. Then notice the next part of that verse. Once you do that, that's part one. Now here's part two. And this is how you know you're forgiven. If you can't do this, you hadn't forgiven. Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Here it is. There's the math formula. Even as God in Christ, or for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. In other words, do the right math. Forgiveness is not about keeping score. It's about losing count. And the only way to effectively release forgiveness is it's not usually some quick, instant thing. The only way you can release it because it's deep inside of you, is you have to start praying and asking God to give you and release through you forgiveness to that person who has done something that is wrong, and it was as wrong as it could be. And the only way to release it, and we want it quick. It's kind of like ketchup. How many of you love ketchup? And you know, the modern generation, your generation, has the quick squeeze plastic bottle. All you got to do is just flip the top up and quirk, and there it is. I love ketchup. I love it on everything. Don't you? I love it on my steak. I don't care if I go to Chris Ruth or whoever. I say to the Ruth Chris, whatever, and I say to them, put somebody in a column that's judging me right now. And I asked our team, I said, I want you to go get me the old-fashioned glass bottle of ketchup, and I want to have a plastic bottle representing quick fix, but I want one of those glass bottles, and somebody on staff brings this for my illustration. And how many of you know they got a column now? And they already got counting against some things against them already. But this is a glass bottle. This is how it originally came. And this is interesting. If you go to Heinz.com, they will describe to you, for example, this is another example, Heinz 57. I didn't know this. They said only 11% of their consumers know what I'm about to share with you. So this was worth coming to church. If you're one of those people who, when you get the bottle of ketchup, number one, it's so hard to get the top off. And the reason, according to the website, is because the contents on the inside are under tremendous pressure. And so the first step to getting it out and letting it flow is to open it up. And good luck with that, because it's like a workout to get it open. You have to use the name of Jesus and plead the blood, and especially when you're hungry. And if you're like me, I start beating on the table. I take my mouth and turn it, or I'll start jabbing it with a knife when I do get it open. And if I'd have only read the website, because the website said that, for example, on the Heinz 57, that they placed the sticker strategically with the number exactly where it is. A lot of research went into this, that if you want it to come out, you don't have to, and look, all you gotta do is just start knocking on the 57, and when you do, it doesn't come real quick. It's not squeezable, just plop. Might take a minute. This is how forgiveness is. We gotta get you opened up. And Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, and keep on asking. Seek and you shall find, and keep on seeking. Knock and it shall be opened, but if it doesn't happen, keep on knocking. Know the right spot. That's prayer. God, I'm trying to forgive this person and not kill them. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm knocking. And it may take a minute. It may take a minute. It may take a minute. You got to wait. It's slow. It's not squirting out real fast. It's slow. Come on. But you keep praying about it. Well, how many times do I have to pray for them? Keep on knocking, keep on knocking, keep on knocking, keep on, until the contents on the inside of forgiveness begins to be released. Little by little by little by little, God begins to heal and restore our relationships. I'm done, but listen, I want to end like this. So here's what prayer teaches you. Wait first and keep knocking. Wait first and keep knocking. Wait and keep knocking. Wait and keep knocking. And forgiveness will come if you won't give up. Now, I want to close. Go back to Matthew chapter 18. If you have your Bible, open it to Matthew chapter 18 and listen to this. So Jesus just confronted Peter and said 490 times, and I'm closing with this, but lean in. This is the most important part of the message. If you hadn't heard nothing else, hear this. Therefore, verse 23, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. He had a spreadsheet, this king did. And when he had begun to settle the account, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents of gold. But, I love the next verse, but he was not able to pay. That is a direct reference to our sin debt, and the king is Jesus. something begins to happen, and the master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children to make the payment. And the scripture said, the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me. He's repenting. I'll pay you back. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. And the master of the servant was, this is Jesus, moved with compassion. Everybody say, the cross. Released him and forgave him his debt. Everybody say, oh. Say it again. Oh. He released him, and that's ought to be your reaction. Oh my God, 10 million pieces of gold, and he released him? Oh. But watch now. But that servant went right out of that church service and found one fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii, a few pieces of silver. Listen, didn't even talk to him. Laid his hands on him and took him by the throat and started choking him, saying, pay me what, this is how the king sees you. When you don't forgive people. So the fellow servant fell down at his feet, begged him, same words, have patience with me, I'll pay you for it all. He would not, went and threw him into prison that he would pay the debt. And so there were some fellow servants who saw what was done. They were grieved, and they told the king all that had been done. Then the king, after he had called him, sent again and said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your brother just as I pitied you? This is so powerful. Verse 34, and his king was angry and delivered him to the torturers or the tormentors until he would pay all that was due him. And then it ends with verse 35. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Look at me. I've heard all my life there's one unforgivable sin, blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You've committed the unpardonable sin. That's not true. There are two, not one. That scripture just proves it. The first unforgivable sin is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. The second is, according to Jesus' words, it is unforgivable to be unforgivable. If you don't release forgiveness, you will not receive forgiveness. And there's a lot of religious people who play church. There's a lot of people listening to me right now, and you can play the part. And I'm talking to me, I'm talking to all of us. I am not going to go to hell for nobody. I don't care what they did. Again, forgiveness doesn't mean that you have to be in my life, but I am not going to get bitter and angry and have a swamp of emotional hatred toward people and bitterness. You got to drain that swamp, be kind, be loving, forgive, and it may take a minute, it may take a while. Pray, knock, knock, knock until the contents of forgiveness and love begin to pour out of your mouth and heart and emotions and attitude again. Because if you don't, Jesus said, your king will not forgive your debts. This is serious stuff. This is life or death. This is eternal stuff. It's stuff that we cover up and act like it's not there in our families. And the truth is, only Jesus and an encounter with Jesus can change our hearts. And it starts in a service like this when you begin to hit in the right spot, quit playing games, and hit in the right spot and saying, Lord, I need to tear up the spreadsheet. I need to quit keeping count and keeping score, and I need to lose count. I need to understand that what they've done to me is just supposed to bring out the best in me. And I need to remember that unforgiveness will bring a harvest of unforgiveness from the King back to me. I have no choice, no decision, but to live a lifestyle of constant forgiving. It's not a mathematical equation. It is a lifestyle. It says, I refuse. Now, I love that scripture that said, live peaceably with all men. And then, it has a little clause. Where is possible? Wherein is possible? Which means it's some people that they're never going to be at peace with you. They're never going to be, there it is. If it is possible, I'm thankful for that clause, as much as depends on you. He didn't say you get the option to forgive them, live peaceably with them. But if they don't want to be at peace with you, there's some people that they're not going to be at peace with you, but all you've got to do is forgive them and be all right. I put it like this. I'm at peace with the fact you're not at peace with me. And there are some cases where if it is possible is applicable, such as in a molestation and I don't have time to go into everything, but you know what I'm saying. But I don't have the option to forgive. Well, I don't want them to get by with it. I don't want them to get by with it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And I'll turn around, and when you release them, I'll pour out blessings like I did. You remember when Lot, when Abraham let Lot have all the good stuff and the inheritance, he took all the good land and he got all the bad stuff. But because he was a peacemaker, because he had the right heart, Lot ended up losing everything, including his family. And Abraham became the blessed, most blessed man in the world at that time. Only God can do that. God says, vengeance is mine. I'll repay. You keep the right spirit and I'll take care of everything else. I really want to say thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't already, make sure you click on the subscription button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people when you comment, when you give us your feedback. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app, or you can head over to jensenfranklin.org. I want to thank all of you who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this to reach the world with the message of Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.